Good morning. Well, how was your weekend? Hope you learned something new. Well, the Prime Minister learned how to use chopsticks from good pal Shinzo Abe, the Japanese Prime Minister, but then you wouldn't want to be in his position, where over the weekend, the Prime Minister has been called on different public platforms a namak haram, a dengue mosquito who needs to be exterminated with pesticide, and a scorpion sitting on a shivling. You cannot move it with your hand, and you cannot hit it with your chappal either. The last one got the Law Minister of India so agitated that he demanded an apology from Congress Chief, though Shashi Tharoor, who said it, had merely quoted an RSS functionary. That the Law Minister was silent on the absolute impropriety and unconstitutional arguments thrown in by who else? Amit Shah and also Arun Jaitley, as they fought for not implementing law on Sabarimala and using the plank for creating division, so nothing new at all over the weekend. It is 29 October 2018 and the other huggy friend of Prime Minister, USA's President Donald Trump, will not be visiting India as a chief guest on Republic Day. Well, small mercies of universe, I say, but let's move to what is the latest, smallest or greatest news from India and the world in today's auditorium. So let's turn our eyes on what Amit Shah and BJP have always gotten away with. Dividing India and Indians on religious lines, and no giant statue of unity can make their lies disappear. So let's go to what Amit Shah is doing in Kerala right now. A day after Amit Shah, in his first public reaction to the Sabarimala verdict, said that courts should not pronounce verdicts that cannot be implemented. Well, Kerala Chief Minister Pinarayi Vijayan on Sunday hit back, saying that the BJP president's remarks come against the backdrop of the Babri Masjid case, which is likely to come up in the Supreme Court today. Quote, "Who are you trying to threaten? The Supreme Court? Your intention behind threatening Supreme Court was evident. The Supreme Court is going to hear the Babri Masjid case. You want the Supreme Court to pronounce its verdict according to your direction," Vijayan said in his address at a public meeting in Palakkad on Sunday evening. Are these the words that should come from the chief of the country's ruling party? Can a leader of the ruling party adopt such a undemocratic stance? Sorry. The chief minister said, not us. In his speech in Kannur on Saturday, Shah criticized police actions against those who protested against implementing the Supreme Court verdict allowing entry of women of all ages to the Sabarimala shrine. He also said that the LDF government in Kerala will be pulled down. And then there is the biggest case that has single-handedly divided India more than the British ever could. The Supreme Court is likely to hear today a clutch of pleas challenging the Allahabad High Court's 2010 judgment, which ruled that the disputed land on the Ram Janmabhoomi Masjid site in Ayodhya be divided into three parts. Well, a bench comprising Chief Justice Ranjan Gogoi and Justice Sanjay Krishna Kaul and K.M. Joseph will take up appeals. Now, for some reason, if the verdict is not in favor of BJP, well, be ready for the streets to turn bloody and the entire atmosphere to be very vicious, as Amit Shah has already made his stance firm that he doesn't really believe in the law and the Supreme Court. And on to other news. Horrific is what I'd add to it. Well, a video of four college students being brutally tortured and forced into performing unnatural sex in Bihar's Begusarai district has gone viral, leading to the arrest of seven people, according to the police. The inmates of Kushwaha Hostel, a private student's hostel located in Pokharia area of town police station, were on Wednesday kidnapped by some persons from Kaliasthan Chowk. According to the police, the victims were taken behind Begusarai Divisional Jail and assaulted by the miscreants. They were then disrobed and forced to indulge in unnatural sexual acts with each other. The accused also shot at the toes of the boarders, all college students in the age group of 18 to 21, and made them drink liquor, adding that the shocking act continued the entire day. The boarders were subjected to the cruelty allegedly due to their refusal to buy water from a plant owned by one of the accused. The miscreants made a video of the incident and threatened to make it viral if the students lodged a complaint. The video anyway went viral and the police have made arrests. And they've arrested seven people and all of them with Kumars in their name have been arrested. And now to Ram Madhav. But senior BJP leader Ram Madhav, a grand RSS functionary Ram Madhav, was trying to be funny and targeted, but he got targeted on social media yesterday after he took a dig at the UPA while recounting a funny instance when a foreign minister of India once read out the speech of his counterpart from another country at a key United Nations meet. Well, within minutes, Twitter users offered a reality check to Ram Madhav. Ram Madhav was talking of the visibility India has gained in international forums recently after 2014 when Modi and Amit Shah have taken reign. But at one point, India's external affairs minister were never noticed at international forums, including the UN. There were funny instances like once an Indian foreign minister reading the speech of foreign minister of another country. Quote, this is what Ram Madhav said. Well, he was referring to S.M. Krishna, who in 2011 had inadvertently read out the speech of his counterpart from Portugal for nearly 3 minutes at the United Nations Security Council before the error was pointed out by the Indian diplomat Hardeep Singh Puri. Well, the minister did not realize his mistake apparently because the first portion related to general issues related to the UN, development and security. But it didn't take time for Ram Madhav to smell the Delhi air when people pointed out that both S.M. Krishna and the diplomat Hardeep Singh Puri are now part of BJP. And the diplomat is today the junior minister of the Housing and Urban Affairs Development in Prime Minister Narendra Modi's government itself. But on to the adventures and misadventures going on in the Indian Ocean. Even as Indian Foreign Ministry was taking sigh of relief on democratic return of a pro-India government in Maldives, it looks like China wasn't going to let the same incident repeat itself in the other key Indian Ocean island country of Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka's president on Sunday said that the main reason he decided to sack his prime minister was the alleged involvement of a cabinet minister in a plot to assassinate him. In a televised address to the nation, President Maithripala Sirisena said a person questioned by investigators had revealed the name of a minister in an alleged plot to assassinate him and a former defense secretary. While Arjun Ranatunga, Sri Lanka's petroleum minister and the 1996 World Cup winning captain, also had a narrow escape from death and survived to share his story yesterday. Ranatunga was stopped at the main gate by some union leaders loyal to Rajapaksa, who demanded that he should go back as he's no longer their minister. Terming the dismissal of the government illegal and maintaining that he's still petroleum minister of Sri Lanka, Arjuna entered the office. A few minutes later, hundreds of people had gathered outside the tall building of the CPC and the union ministers loyal to Rajapaksa laid a siege to the ministry. During the standoff, a union leader entered Arjun's office on the fourth floor with a few supporters and tried to shoot at him, claims one of Arjun's aides. The panicked bodyguards of Ranatunga fired at them to save the minister. The union leader, with a gun in hand, died and two others injured severely. Later, his bodyguards closed the entrance to the office and fired a few more rounds to scare the mob. And another horrific news coming in, this time from Jakarta in Indonesia, where an Indonesian Lion Air plane crashed into the sea shortly after taking off from the capital Jakarta this morning. An aviation authority official has told reporters, adding that a search and rescue operation is underway. And on to our last news, it may not impact us directly, but it will soon if this newly elected president of Brazil undertakes its poor promise that of pretty much destroying the Amazon jungle. A far right, pro-gun, pro-torture, populist has been elected as Brazil's next president after a drama-filled and deeply divisive election that looks set to radically reforge the future of the world's fourth biggest democracy. Here, Bolsonaro, a 63-year-old former paratrooper who built his campaign around pledges to crush corruption, crime and a supposed communist threat, secured majority of votes after 94% of them were counted and was therefore elected Brazil's next president. That's all. Have a fantastic week ahead. Breathe with care and stay hydrated and warm. Goodbye from takeapart.in.